Argument United States versus Lowe, Mr. Hansmeier.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Dan Hansmeier on behalf of Omar Lowe from the Federal Defender's Office, Central District of Illinois. Mm-hmm. We've raised one issue in this appeal. Motion to suppress was denied. Search warrant case. The affidavit, essentially a confidential informant case, if you will. It is agreed that the affidavit itself doesn't set forth enough for to establish the CI's reliability. It's similar to Bell and Dismuke, where the affidavit essentially just says the guy's reliable. It doesn't say why. That's something that consistently has been held to be insufficient. So
but
essentially,
even assuming that there's not enough in the affidavit to support the officer's claim that the informant is reliable, there seems to be a good deal of independent corroboration of the informant's story. And why wouldn't that be enough to overcome the problem of the, the conclusory assertion of reliability?
Well, I think the, you have the drug deal is the independent corroboration, but that had to do with Omar's brother at a different location. And I think, our argument is essentially based on the contents of the affidavit, to find even the fact of a drug deal, you essentially have to rely on the confidential informant based on the way this affidavit was drafted. Essentially, you have a situation where this confidential informant goes to buy drugs from Dobie Lowe. There's nothing in the affidavit that indicates he was searched prior to the deal. There's nothing that indicates he's under any sort of surveillance other than they can visually see him. There's a so basically the whole idea of a controlled buy is based on the confidential informant and what he tells officers, what he does. So essentially, our argument is, at the end of the day, you have a drug deal that's supposed to corroborate, the CI's reliability, but that drug deal in and of itself relies on the confidential informant's reliability. Essentially, you're just going in circles. You can't show confidential informant's reliability based on a deal that is based on to be, relied upon. You have to find him reliable. So I think that's the problem with this affidavit, is that there's just not the officers. It's just insufficient. They could have, if it's true that he was under audio surveillance, or if they patted him down and knew he didn't have drugs on him. Those are things that officers would know. Those are things that should be in a search warrant. If that's what really happened, that should be in there. So, I think we can assume it didn't happen because it's not in there. But even if it did, it doesn't matter because the test is the four corners of the affidavit. So I think when you look at four corners of the affidavit, you have a situation where your confidential informant, the affidavit, doesn't provide anything to show that he's reliable, and the independent corroboration in turn relies on the CI's reliability. And that sort of tautology shouldn't be enough to justify.
If I've got this right, Mr. Hansmeier, the CI was given buy money, right?
Well, yes, I think that's in the affidavit. He was given buy money.
CI gets buy money, encounters the brother, and one theory, your theory, I suppose, is there was a possibility that the brother took the money, had the drugs on him at the time, and then decided to go for this jaunt, stop by his brother's house, which had nothing to do with the drug deal, and then returned and delivered the crack that he'd been carrying around in his pocket the whole time. Is that right?
That's one innocent explanation. I think there are others. That's certainly one. You could make the argument that there was no drug deal, that the CI had the drugs on him the whole time. because he wasn't searched beforehand. And there was no evidence of audio surveillance in the affidavit. So I think you can make that argument.
Okay.
I think there's too many innocent explanations and not enough police work. And
okay, thank you, Mr. Hassmeyer. Ms. Jacobs? Yeah?
They gave you rough duty today.
That's all right. If I'm going to walk in the rain all the way from the train station, I'm glad that I'm doing two cases rather than just one. May it please the court, Michelle Jacobs again for the United States.
How do we solve this repeated problem of police officers baldly asserting that an informant is reliable? I mean, the exception in Leon only applies when the officer relies in good faith on a faulty warrant. But, you know, how do we keep calling it good faith when we have repeatedly held that conclusory assertions of reliability are not entitled to any weight? I mean, it seems to me that at some point we have to say that no reasonable officer may rely on a warrant that rests on a conclusory statement that an informant is reliable, and I'm wondering why we're not at that point yet. And
well,
after you answer that, I want you to tell me why we're still in Iraq.
Well, I did not prepare that. I guess I would answer your question both on the probable cause issue and on the Leon issue. First, with respect to the probable cause issue, you're right that unsupported assertions of reliability aren't enough. But there are cases that also indicate that control buys, even assuming that this informant had never been used before, that an informant's conducting a controlled transaction like this can establish reliability. Now, I appreciate Mr. Hansmeyer.
Isn't the position here, though, that this was in essence an uncontrolled buy?
Well, what I would say is that the affiant did not include, for example, whether or not the informant had been searched or whether or not there was audio surveillance in addition to visual surveillance. That doesn't mean that it happened or it didn't happen. I know we have to stay within the four corners of the affidavit, but in the end, with respect to the probable cause issue, this is not a model search warrant. I'm not here to advocate that this is the model that we would want officers to use. That doesn't mean, first of all, that it's not enough for probable cause. You know, the conversation that you were having with Mr. Hansmeyer was there are a number of inferences that could be drawn. I would suggest that the most reasonable inference, even under the four corners of the affidavit, is exactly what the issuing judge, the magistrate judge, and the district court judge all drew, and that is that Dobie Lowe went to Omar Lowe's residence to get the drugs. There's no sort of logical reason that Dobie Lowe would be running around with drugs in his pocket for an hour and a half just because. Also, again, it's not in the affidavit whether or not this CI is trying to work off charges or was previously arrested, although there is some indication that the affiant does say, I've worked with informants who have been arrested for drugs and that sort of thing. But again, your typical informant, if that's the case, or even if he's working for money, he isn't going to show up with the drugs because they would anticipate essentially being searched. So that the most reasonable inference is the one that the judges have drawn in this case. Now, moving to Leon, though, even if this court were to find that there's just not enough, the search isn't in there, or the audio or surveillance wasn't done, or whatever, and that means that there's not probable cause, we still have to look at Leon. And we have not just the issuing judge finding probable cause. We have a magistrate judge and the district court judge, both who have looked at this affidavit and found probable cause. I would suggest that that makes it reasonable for the affiant here, for the law enforcement officers, to assume or to rely on in good faith this search warrant. If a learned district court judge who was previously a state court judge has looked at an awful lot of search warrants, Judge Griesbach, finds probable cause here, it's hard to suggest that a police officer should have known there wasn't probable cause here. If the court has no further questions, I would ask that the district court's judgment be affirmed.
Thank you, Ms. James.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Hassmeyer, your time expired, but if you want another minute, you're welcome, or not. You don't have to.
Just, you know, on that logic with good faith, I mean, if that logic extends to every case, then good faith exception just swallowed the Fourth Amendment, because in every case that's appealed to this court, you have a finding of probable cause by two judges. So, I mean, if that logic extends, then we shouldn't ever do this. So I think the Supreme Court's made clear that it's a deferential standard, but you still have to review it. So regardless of whether two judges have found probable cause, that fact in and of itself shouldn't be dispositive. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hassmeyer. And you were appointed, were you not? Good defenders. Okay, well, we thank the defenders and you personally for your efforts on behalf of your client, and we thank Ms. Jacobs for her efforts. And the court will now be in recess.